And begin the current Tav Masech by the Zohar Daf Chav Talad. Begin 18 lines down by the top of the Amid, where the Gemara continues quoting from the discussion of the previous Daf in the top of this Amid, where we had a machlekes between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham regarding if we have to suspect that the Ovdei Kechavim who have animals, if they engaged in revia, in bestiality with the animal, thus if it's forbidden to buy animals from them or not, as the last of the three interpretations of the Gemara and the machlekes, our Mishnah and the Brice regarding are we suspecting non-Jews with their animals. Our Mishnah made it sound like that we do suspect, and therefore it does explain that's like Rabbi Yehazu says one cannot purchase any animals from a non-Jew for a carbon, whereas the Chacham, which was like the Brisa, says you could because we do not suspect. So that the Gemara quotes, Amamar, Rabbi Yehazu had said in response to the Chacham, who brought a pasuk showing that ultimately the Jewish people are going to be buying carbonis from all the non-Jews, and moreover there was an incident where they went and they bought an animal from Dama ben Nesina. So, but as I said, that's not a proof. Yisrael ha'misham and neisim mishashanol, the Jewish people watched that red heifer from when it was born to make sure that no revi was done with it. You're right, if we hadn't watched, we would have suspected that it was revayed and we could not have bought it. But here, the moment it was born, from that moment, they never took their eyes off it and they made sure that it didn't engage in bestiality with that animal. And that's why they were allowed to buy it from him, as we explained on the top of this Amid, meaning also together with the fact that they bought it through a middleman, a Jewish middleman, because that's a different problem that Sheila had said, one cannot buy directly from a non-Jew, a paraduma. But the Gemara has it as a question. It says, okay, so you watched it from when it was born. So the non-Jew, Dama, did not go ahead and engage in sodomize the animal itself. Then maybe he sodomized the mother when it was pregnant with this red heifer. So what's the significance? What does it have to do with the embryo? The Amar Rava said, Vlad Hamnagachas, if a cow gores a Jewish person when the cow is pregnant and then the person dies, Usher, the child, is also going to be possible for a carbon, meaning an animal that gores is forbidden to be brought as a carbon. Says Rava, if the animal is pregnant with the child and it gores, even the child is going to be forbidden and going to be possible as a carbon. Why? Because he, Vlad HaNakrei, we consider as if the child and the mother and the child, both together gored that person. Which Rashi explains the case must be talking about specifically that it gored and only one witness was testifying that it gored and killed that Jew. Or the owner himself admitted that this is what happened. But there's no witnesses to testify, because if there were witnesses, anyways, it couldn't be brought as a carbon because it would get stoned. But even though this one witness or the owner admitted, it will be possible from being brought as a carbon, because as it says in Taras Kainim, it says min hatzayin, from the sheep, which is an exclusionary term, that excludes if it was set aside for avodah zarah. And it says umin hatzayin, the extra vav, excludes an animal that's negeach. If it gored a person, it's possible. Says Rava, that applies not only to the animal itself, but it was pregnant. The embryo that's later born is also going to be possible to brought as a carbon. So too, Vlad Hanarvas Aser, when an animal that's pregnant is sodomized, not only is that animal forbidden, but it's as if the fetus is sodomized, and it itself is also going to be Aser, because he Vlad the Nirvu, because both of them are considered like they were Nirva. So therefore, ask the Gemara, based on this principle of Rava, what if it helped that they watched from the when Red Heifer was born, but maybe Dama had sodomized the mother when it was pregnant, and it's considered as if it sodomized the paraduma, which would make it possible. So the Gemara, Amos, I'd rather say, Yisrael ha-mishamer noisa, mishosha noitzra. You're right. The Jewish people there watched the Red Heifer from the moment that it was formed in its mother's womb. Meaning, from the moment that it conceived the child, they already watched the mother to make sure that it wasn't sodomized by Dama. Which later on, the Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? How did they know that the fetus was a red animal to know that it's the paraduma to watch the animal when they conceive? But that the Gemara is going to address later on. But the Gemara asked, but v'nechesh dama ravua li'ima me'ikara. But okay, fine. So the moment that it conceived, it didn't. And it didn't have it because of the fact that it was the uber was in there already. But we should be concerned that maybe Dama sodomized the mother before it conceived the child, the paraduma. And why is that problematic? Because it's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechta Tumah that says, Kala basun legab mizbeach, whatever is invalid to be used for the mizbeach, v'lo they say in mutar. The Tanna Kama says, that animal is going to be possible, but the child, if it was conceived after that incident, whatever it was that happened to the mother, psul of avodah zarah, or if it was nirva, the child's going to be mutar. But Vatani Allah, we learned that on the Braisa that says Rabbi Yezer, who we're discussing, says it's going to be Aser. So what does it help that they watched it from the moment that the child was conceived? Even if its mother was sodomized before the child was conceived, the child of that mother is also going to be possible for them to be used as a paraduma. So what does it help that they watch from when the animal was conceived? So the Gemara explains, we understand according to Rava, Dama Rava Amrav Nachman, he says that the machlekes of the Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan was only kishen nirvu kishen mukdashin, only if the mother was sodomized when it itself was sanctified. Which, as the Gemara Masechtas Tamura explains, because the reason of Rabbi Eliezer is because that's degrading to have the kachim that had this psul, and therefore the child's going to be like that too. Avak shein chulin, but if the mother was an unconsecrated animal, divrei kol matron, then everyone would agree that the child's going to be permitted. So according to him, it makes sense. The mother of the red heifer is not it could be a chulin animal, and the animal that comes out of its red is valid to be a paraduma. So we can understand that would have been the case when they had watched the fetus from when it was conceived. El Rav Huna bar Chinna Amar Rav Nachman, that he says machlekes kishen nivru kshen chul, and he says the machlekes is that even when it was sodomized when the mother was chulin, avol kshen mekadosh, because in contrast, if the mother was sanctified nivri hakol usurin, then everyone, even the Tanakhama, would agree that's going to be forbidden. Michael Mem, what are you going to say? At least according to Rabbi Yazar, even if the mother is unconsecrated, the child's going to be forbidden. So what is up that they watch it from when the child was conceived? If the mother was sodomized even way before it was conceived, is also going to be problematic for the child, for the paraduma. Says the Gemara, okay, so Ema, then you have to say that Yisrael hoy mishamano yisali ima mishashanaitza. Actually, they didn't safeguard the paraduma from when it was conceived, they safeguarded the mother from when she was formed. And therefore, the mother was never sodomized, and that's why it's not a problem for the paraduma. They're watching it all through that. So the Gemara asks, but v'nechesh dema revua le'ima de'ima, but we should be concerned that maybe the mother's mother was sodomized. So that makes the child, which is the mother's puzzle, which then makes its child the paraduma puzzle. So the Gemara, kula ha'lechashin, that far back we're not concerned. It's only if the mother itself has this so then the child is going to have it, but not from the grandmother. And that's why they made sure that, although Rabbi Eliezer says that there's a psul of Revia, and that would be even, let's say, in the mother itself, the mother itself didn't have it, therefore there was no problem for the paraduma. Now, Amamar, so we had, the master had said, that Yisrael ha'i mishamen oisim mishoshanayit, so that the Jewish people there, by the time of Dama ben Nesina, they safeguarded the animal, the paraduma, or like we said, even the mother, from when it was formed. So ask the Gemara, but a basic question is, from where did they know, whether it be the animal or the mother of the animal, that it was going to be a paraduma? How would they safeguard from the moment it conceived? They don't know that it's, you watch every animal, how do they know? So Rav Kahane says, no, kais adam avirin lefanel, they would put a red cup in front of the animal, b'shosha oylo la'azacha, when a male was mounting the animal to mate with it, they would put in front of the female animal a red cup, which that visual of red would make that the child would be red. And that's how they knew that the animal going to be conceived was going to be a paraduma. So they might say, if that's the case, am I the major car? And so why is it so expensive? We mentioned previous stuff, so precious and the for the expense of a paraduma because it's so uncommon. Why? It's so easy. Just put a red cup, you'll get a paraduma. So it's going to be, no, iris places, but since two hairs, whether they're black or white, are automatically going to validate the whole because it has to be totally red, so if it's still very uncommon, and that's why it's still very expensive. But then the Gemara says, but a Mishnah did who? Then why did the Jewish people go to a non-Jew, to Dama ben Nesina, to put the red cup, to buy it from him? Why didn't they do it by themselves, by their own animals from the Jewish people, if it's just the fact of putting a red cup? On Rav Kahane, he says, no, because b'mechzekes. There was a certain type of family of cows, which Dama ben Nesina had, which were already had the established presumption that they would have red cows by putting the red cup in front of them. So therefore, that's why that was the best odds they had. But again, it's still uncommon, and therefore it's expensive. And at the same time, they knew that it was going to conceive the red cow because they would put the red cup. They knew it was that time that was going to cause it to begin, but it was only the types of cows that Dama ben Nesina had, and that's why it had all those variables together. Now, continuing on this theme, the Gemara says that Yosef Reb Ami, Reb Yitzchak Nafcha, Akilah Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. Reb Ami and Reb Yitzchak Nafcha were both sitting on the porch of Reb Yitzchak Nafcha. Pasach HaMenai V'Omer, one of them opened up and saying from the previous Gemara's discussion, which was from the previous daf on the top of the summit, V'chein Ha Reb Eliezer Paisel B'cholak HaBanes Kulam. Although we had quoted him previously that Reb Eliezer says one is not allowed to purchase a paraduma from a non-Jew, but then it was quoted that Reb Eliezer said actually one is not allowed to purchase from a non-Jew all types of kabbanis, as we had said, because he suspect of having sodomized the animal, which is a psul for all types of kabbanis. Pasach Idach Minayvam, the other one with the Birabami, Ritzchak Nafcha, he opened up and he continued the conversation. He says, and Mayu Sivalei Chavrei L'Beliezer, what did the colleagues respond back to Beliezer, who they say one is allowed to purchase karbanas from a non-Jew? They quote him a pasuk that says, and this is a pasuk in Yeshaya, called Tzayin Kedur Yiftu Lach V'Germa, like we mentioned in previous stuff, that all the sheep from the Ishmaelites and all the world that you're going to bring as a carbon, you see that we could bring animals from the non-Jews as a carbon. On that, Amar Eliezer, Eliezer said to them, no, that's a pasuk from the future. Kulan Gerim Gerurim Heim Lasad Lavi. All the non-Jews of the world are going to be these lowly types of converts, meaning because they're going to convert on their own. So they're going to keep Jewish law, and they're not going to sodomize animals. Even though we're not going to receive them, because that's already too late. But again, that's why we could take animals from them, because they're not going to sodomize them in the future. Now, Amar V'Yisvi says, Amikra, and what's the pasuk that shows this idea that in the future they're all going to come to the Jewish way of life? It's a pasuk in Sefaniah that says, Ki az epech el amim, says Hashem, because then I'm going to turn over all the nations, Safa, Berudra, a clear language, Begayim, etc., which it says, Likri kulam Hashem Hashem, that they're all going to call out in the name of Hashem, La'avdei Shechem Echad, to serve him with one shoulder. So therefore we see that they're going to end up turning to the Jewish way. On that, as Amalei Abaye, Abaye says, maybe they're only going to repent and turn back from idolatry. Like it says, Likri kulam Hashem Hashem, they're all going to call out the name of Hashem. But maybe they're not going to stop sodomy. And still, in spite of that, you see that they're going to be able to bring a carbon from the non-Jewish animals. On that, Amalei Rav Yisrael said to him, no, because the pasuk they concludes, La'avdei Shechem Echad, it says to serve with one shoulder, which sounds like that the Jews and the non-Jews are all going to be the same in the service of Hashem, which obviously forbids bestiality, and therefore that's why they're going to end up taking the karbanos from them. But again, that's still like Rabbi Yehoshua says, but today's times, where they are suspect for revia, for bestiality, we do not buy animals from them from karbanos. Now the Gemara says that Rapapa Masnihach, Rapapa taught the narrative we brought from this incident with Rabbi Amir, it's enough for the way we just quoted. But Rav Zid Masnihachi, he quotes it a little bit differently. The conclusion is the same, but the attributions are different. Where he quotes that V'tavayu Amri, that both Rabbi Amir and Yitzchak Nafcha, they both said the following teachings. Now, as Rashi points out, there's many differences in the details between Rav Papa and Rav Zvid. According to Rav Papa, he learns that it was one of them said one part of the price, and the other Amari said the other part. Moreover, when it says what's the pasuk to show that in the future they're all going to turn to the Jewish way of life, that was Rav Yosef. And the question that was asking them, maybe they're only going to repent from Avodah Zarah, but not from Revia, that was Abai who had asked the question. In contrast, Rav Zvid learns that actually it was both Amaram that were saying both parts of the price, and the pasuk that was supporting that in the future they're going to change to the Jewish way was Rav Eliezer. And the question on that, maybe it's only Avodah Zarah, was Rav Yosef. And the answer for that was Abaya. So that's Rav Zvid's version, where he says that they both said, Rabami and Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, V'chein Rav Eliezer place of a chol karbonis, that this that he said you can't purchase a paraduma from a non-Jew is all karbonis. And Rav Tavai Ami and both of them said, Umay Yisivu Lechavroi Rav Eliezer. And what did his colleagues say back to Rav Eliezer, who they disagreed and said you could purchase karbanos from a non-Jew? Or it says, that we see in the future, we're going to take for all our karbanos from all the nations of the world. On that, Rabbi Elazar said back, no, kulam graham him lost love, they're all going to be lowly converts. In other words, they're going to follow the Jewish way of life, and therefore then you could take the animals from them, because then they're not going to be engaging in bestiality. And then, umaykra, and what's the pasuk to show that? Because then Hashem says, I'm going to turn all the nations to a clear language, Likri kulam Hashem Hashem, that they're all going to call out the name of Hashem. On that, in this version, it was Maskel of Yisuf. Yisuf asked, V'dimam of Yitzchak Chav Mudhajibu, maybe they're only going to call out the name of Hashem, they're not going to engage in idolatry, and they're going to serve Hashem, but maybe they're going to still engage in Revia of a Behema. On that, Amal Abai, it says, no, La'avdi Shechem Echad, because it says in the Pasuk, to serve with one shoulder, which sounds like that there's no difference in his servants, whether the Jewish people, the nations of the world, they're all going to serve Hashem with all the mitzvahs, which includes in Revia of a Behema, that they're not going to engage in that either, and that's why that's still good for the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now the Gemara has many different questions, Meisvei, from Sukkim on Rabbi Eliezer, who he says one is not allowed to purchase, one is not allowed to take animals from non-Jews to use as kabbonis, because we're chesh for revia that they sodomize the animals. Gemara's going to be many different psukim that seems like that we could take animals from non-Jews for kabbonis. Pasuk in Shemai says, V'yem and Moshe said to Paroi, Gam abdo titin b'yedeinu zvachim o'ilas, that you also are going to give us animals for sacrifices and karbanos eil, not only are we going to take our own, you're going to even give us. So you see that they could take animals from a non-Jew to be used as a karban. So the Gemara koyd matan Torah shani, before matan Torah that was different. It's from matan Torah onward that that's going to be a psul for a karban. But beforehand, that wasn't a problem. The Gemara says, Toshma, another rai from a pasuk in Shemais, not like a b'liyazer. Pasuk says, V'yikach Yisrei chesin Moshe, Yisrei, the father-in-law of Moshe, took, Eilo uzvachem leilakim. Took Karbanos Eila and Karbanos Shlamim for Hashem. No, Yisrael was not a Jew, and yet still we see that they were Karbanos that he brought. It says the Gemara, Yisrael nami kodin matan Torah. He was also before matan Torah, and therefore wasn't a problem taking animals from a non-Jew. And that asked the Gemara, Hanich lamandam, and that's only very well according to the opinion, which this machlik is the sons of Reb Chiya and Reb Shimon Levi in the last parak of Masechta Zvachim and Perek Shechid L'Schidus Kachim, that says Yisr Koyd Matan Torah, that Yisr was before the incident, before the narrative of Matan Torah. So therefore, yeah, it wasn't a problem. Elamandam, according to the one who says, in Tabu Chob Dalma Beis, Yisr L'Ach Matan Torah, the Yisr was after Matan Torah, Michael May, what are you going to say? How could a carbon be brought from a non-Jew? Eli Yisr Mishra Azam, says the Gemara, it's not a problem, because Yisr actually brought from a Jew, and then he brought the carbonus. That's how he was able to bring it, but yeah, from himself, from a non-Jew, one is not allowed to bring a carbon. So the Gemara says, Toshma, another Rai, not like Rabbi Yezer. Pasuk Shmuel Aleph. Pasuk says, V'yem Yishol, Shol said to Shmuel, who was disconcerted that he left alive the animals of Agag, of the Amalekim. So Shol says, what's that noise? Oh, that's Amalekim Avim. We brought these animals from the Amalekim. Ashacham Alam al Meitav Atzim Abakar, that the nation was compassionate on the best of their cattle and of their flock. Laman Zavuch L'Shem Lekecha, to bring it as a carbon for Hashem, your God. One thing we see that they were taking animals from the non-Jews to bring as a carbon. So the Gemara, no, my metav, what does it mean that they brought the best? Demei metav, the value of the best, meaning because they actually took their animals to sell them to be able to purchase with that money animals from a Jew to bring those as carbonas. Well, Mashal metav, so then why did they take the best animals if they weren't going to bring it as a carbon anyways? They were just going to sell it to get money to buy carbonas to bring, to give thanks to Hashem. Was kihicha de likvitz alayhi and zivina, that was only so that they should be able to sell it fast and to get money to be able to purchase karbanos, but they weren't going to bring the animals of the Amalekim themselves, because like Rabbi Eliezer, one is not allowed to bring an animal from a non-Jew for a karban, because, again, of the concern of that it was nirva through the non-Jew. Moshe talks about another Raya, not like Rabbi Eliezer, from Pasuk Shmuel Beis. Pasuk says, Vayema Aravne El David, that Aravne, who was a Yavusi, a non-Jew, one of the Kananim, said to David, Yikach V'yal Adoni HaMelech HaToiv Be'enav. Let the master take and bring up all the good that's in his eyes. Re'ei habakal oila, see that the cattle will be brought as a carbon oila. So you see that David HaMelech was bringing an animal of a non-Jew as a carbon. V'amirigim v'klei habakal etzim, and the marigim, which we're going to translate shortly, and the utensils of the flock, of the cattle, is for firewood. So you see that you could take an animal from a non-Jew for a carbon. He was what's called a resident convert, not a Ger Tzedek who converts to Judaism, but as someone who accepts the Shev Mitzvah B'nei Naich and fulfills them, the seven Noahide laws, and Revia bestiality is included in that, and therefore, that's why we weren't concerned for that element, and therefore, even Rabbi Eliezer would agree that you could purchase those animals from a non-Jew. Says the Gemara to clarify, my Marigim, what does that pasuk mean when he says to take the Marigim? Amar Ula, it's a mitah shel turbel. Says the Gemara, my mitah shel turbel, what's a bed of turbel? And that says the Gemara, it's Iza de Kurkasa, which means, say, a toothed goat, which is a terminology to describe, which was this large board, which was very thick and wide, and it had many grooves consecutively that were very, in its width, that were very deep, one after another. The daishin that was used to thresh the grain, because they would put animals on top of these boards, and then the grooves, which had like these teeth sticking out, would thresh the grain. Amar Rav Yisrael, he says, Micah, what's a pasuk that shows that this is what a meirig is? It's a pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Hini samtich lemeirig charetz chadish. Behold, I've made you into this meirig that has these new teeth, these new grooves that are balpafias, that have these teeth. Tadish haram retidak, that you thresh mountains and you'll pulverize it. So obviously we see that it's made for threshing. V'gvois kamitz tasim, and that the hills you'll make like chaff. So again, that shows that this is what this meirig is. Now the Gemara continues asking under Eliezer from a different pasuk, Meisvei, from a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph. It says, Vesaparis helu oil Hashem. This refers to the people of Beit Shemesh, who they brought the cows that brought the ark from the lands of Pelishtim, which was taken in captivity by the Pelishtim. So then the cows brought the ark back by themselves, And they took those cows and brought it as a oila to Hashem. So you see, they took the animals of the Plishtim as a carbon. Says the Gemara, Hayrah Shahisa. That was a momentarily dispensation of this law. That was because of the miracle that happened through those cows, where they brought the ark by themselves, and no person even led them back to the Jewish people. Moreover, they left their children locked in the house in Philistine, and they didn't cry after their sons. Rather, they were going and they were singing Shir, as the Gemara says later on. So because of that, that was an exception to the rule. So even Rabbi Eliezer would agree in this case. Says the Gemara, Hachanam Mestab, it's logical to say, like we're saying, because if you don't say that this was an exception, or Hayrah Shah, a temporary halacha, then Oila in the cave of Mi'ika, do you ever bring a korban Oila that's a female? It's always a Zachar. And here we see it was Paris, it was cows that were female, and they brought us a korban Oila, obviously because it was Hayrah Shah. And that says the Gemara, no, that's not a Raya. Well, my kusha, what's the difficulty? Dilma Bebamas Yachin, maybe they brought these cows as a korban on a private altar, which is permitted. Because there actually was talking about a bama of a yachid, because the bama gedayla, the communal bama, which is the communal mizbech when there is no set beis hamikdash, was in Noiv at that time. Because when the Aron was taken, the Mishkan Shila was destroyed, and they came to Noiv, and this instrument wasn't in Noiv. And therefore, ukud rav ad bar hava, tamar ad bar hava, he says, minayin lo oila nekeva shikashay b'bamas yachid. Where do we know that actually one is allowed to bring a carbon oila, which is totally burnt all the parts of it on the mizbech, even though it's a female, which is usually not the case, if it's by a private altar, Shem, like it says in Pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, it says, V'yikach Shmuel t'lei chalav echad, that Shmuel took a young nursing sheep, v'yalei o'ayla, and they brought it as o'ayla. So you see that he took a female and brought it as o'ayla because it was on the Bamas Yachad. And that is the Gemara on this, v'yaleyu, when it says in the Pasuk that he brought them up, zachar mashmoy, that actually sounds like masculine. How could you say that it's talking that he brought a female as o'ayla? The way it's written is in the female, and he brought it up, which refers to the feminine, and therefore that's how we see that one could bring a nekeva as an oila on the Bamas Yachid. And there's no raya that it was a rasha. You could say that, but there's no proof in the fact that it was a nekeva that was brought as an oila, because a Bamas Yachid you are allowed to bring, not even with harasha, a nekeva as an oila. Now the Gemara goes back to the first of the three answers we gave from the contradiction of our Mishnah and the Braisa, which was the answer of Rav, that said that although our Mishnah says there were cheshish the Evdi Kechavim for Raviyah and the Behema, but the Braisa says you're allowed to purchase from them an animal for a carbon. So that Rav said, because that's talking about where the difference between their own animals and the animal of a Jew. His own animal, he's not going to want to sodomize, because it's going to, let's say in the case of a female, it's going to make it sterile, it's going to ruin the animal. So therefore you're allowed to purchase from them their own animals as a carbon. So that's what the Gemara qualifies. Rabbi Yochanan, he says, it's not a blanket statement for all types of animals. And he qualifies, he says, Gvul Yeshla. There is a limit for that dispensation. It's Pchusim B'Bas Gimel Shanim Nekeres. It's only an animal that's less than 3 years old, which gets sterile from when they get sodomized by a man. That's the type of animals that you can purchase from a non-Jew for a carbon, because he's not going to ruin his animal. But Bas Gimel Shanim Ein Nekeres, an animal that's already 3 years old, does not become sterile when it's sodomized by a man. Then we have to suspect that therefore the non-Jew did sodomize and engage in bestiality with this animal. And then that, if it's over 3 years old, you're not allowed to purchase that animal from a non-Jew. So says the Gemara, Eisvei Kolhani Tiyufta. So all the questions we asked in the previous Gemara's discussion on Rabbi Eliezer, we brought all these psukim that show one is allowed to purchase animals from a non-Jew as a carbon, and asked it on Rabbi Yechon, who says if it's over 3 years old, you're not allowed to purchase from a non-Jew. And Shani, who Pchusim Bas Gimel Shanim Rechon, answered all those questions by saying, yeah, the psukim are all under 3 years old. Similar, and we had certain answers for Rabbi Eliezer. That's what the Gemara says for Rabbi Yechon. All the answers were that it was under 3 years old. Where then, yeah, we're not chayshish for Raviyah, and that's why you're allowed to take it from the non-Jews. Similarly, Tashma, the Gemara tried refuting Rabbi Yechanan from the pasuk that says Vesaparis Helu Oil Hashem, which we brought, that said that the cows they brought as Oil Hashem, you see that they took karbanas from non-Jewish animals. And also the Gemara answers, yeah, because it was under 3 years old, and that's why they were able to go ahead and use it. But if it was over 3 years old, then it would have been forbidden. On that, Maskevler of Huinabrid of Nas, and he says, Im Kain, if that's the case, then you tell me that the cows that the Plishtim, those animals that came up, that they sacrificed, were under 3 years old, that's why they're able to use it, and that's why we weren't chashed that to reveal those animals. But then how do we understand Hainu that this that it says earlier there in the Pasuk in that narrative says Vezbeneim Kolobabayas, that these cows that went and brought up the ark to Eretz Yisrael, that their sons, their children, they left locked in the house. That asks the Gemara. Pchus mibas gimel shanim. A cow that's less than 3 years old, mikri yalda? Does it even give birth to say that they left their young back in the house and polished them? But Vatanya, which actually a Mishnah Masechet Becharis we learned, is in Becharis Daf Yotesh Mabez that says if someone purchases an animal from a non-Jew and he doesn't know if this animal already gave birth once before or not, to know that if the first child is the Bechar, which has certain halachas or not. So the Mishnah says that if it's a goat that's in its first year, so for sure the child that's going to give birth to is going to go to the Kohen, because it never gave birth yet, over a year old. So then it's already a Safik. So too, continues the Mishnah, as our Gemara quotes, Par v'chamar, regarding a cow and a donkey. So the Gemara says, B'nois Gimel, if it's 3 years old, meaning it's within 3 years, so then Vad l'Kohen. So most definitely, the first child that's going to be born by the Jew is going to go to the Kohen, if it's a male, because if we don't know when it's giving birth, but within 3 years, we say most definitely it had not yet given birth by the non-Jew. If it's over 3 years old when it gives birth for the first time in the Jew's possession, so that child is going to be considered a suffix. It's doubtful if it's Bechar or not. So there actually the halacha is that since you could say that maybe it already gave birth once before by the non-Jew because it's already an older type of a cow, and you could say that maybe it did not give birth yet once before by the non-Jew, and maybe this is the firstborn. So what you do is you let that firstborn by the Jew graze until it develops a blemish, because it's not fit to be as a carbon, because maybe it's not a Bechar, and it might be chulin, and after it develops a blemish, so then the owner of that cow eats it and it doesn't have to give it to the kohen, because a bechar that has a blemish is permitted for a non-kohen to eat it. The only problem that might run into is that it's considered stealing the matnas kohuna, even if it was considered a definite, the only problem would be a monetary law. Now, since this case is a suffix, so the kohen would be considered a meitzeh mechaver, and therefore the onus of proof is on him, that he has to prove that it did not give birth before by the non-Jew. Similarly, by petachamer, which is by the donkey, when we're not sure if this is the first one that the donkey gave birth to. So there you have to add another step. There you have to separate a sheep to permit the donkey to derive benefit from it. Like it says in the pasuk, tif de besay, you have to do a redemption process with the sheep. And then the sheep he could keep for himself, because even if it was a definite petachamer, there is no sanctity on the sheep that's given to the kain. It's only, again, you run into the monetary law of gizela from the kain. And since it's a situation of doubt, that the only element is regarding possible gezel, there we say the onus of proof is on the kohen. But one thing we see is that we said that the cow under three, we assume that it did not have a child yet. It's only over three that then we say it's a suffix. But under three, so most definitely the first child it's going to have is going to go to the kohen because it did not give birth yet. So here you're saying that it has to be that they're under three because or else, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they would not have been able to take the animals. But here they had children and we say you cannot have children under three. Rather, says the Gemara, Machvarta Kedishne Mekar. You're right, it's clear, like we said before, to answer this question, as we had been answering all the questions from Bliyasu too, but then we got stumped by this pasuk. We say, okay, Haru Ashra, that was an exception, a special dispensation for Bihin. You have to say the same thing, although we had answered for all the psukim for him, that was Tumah, they were under three. Here you can't say they were under three, because they had children, must have been over three. So it must be, again, as we said, a special dispensation for the law, because since these cows had brought up the yarn by themselves, that's where they brought as a carbon, even though they were over 3 years old. Now, once the Gemara introduced this, the Gemara continues with that narrative of this parsha in Shmuel Aleph, where these cows by themselves brought back the urn from the land of the Plishtim, says Vayisharna haparit baderech, which literally translates as from the word of Yasher, that the cows went straight on the road, al derech Beis Shemesh begayma, on the road of Beis Shemesh, etc. But the Gemara says, my Vayisharna, it's not the usual terminology. What does it mean, Vayisharna? So Rabbi Yechad, Meshur Meir says Sha'amru Shira, that they sang songs, the cows were singing Shira. Rav Zutta Batuvi Amaravi gives a different interpretation. He says the word Vayisharan is Sheyishu Penem Keneged Aron V'Amr Shira. Says that they directed their faces towards the Aron as they were going with the ark, and they were saying Shira. So they both thought that there was Shira, but the question is Vayisharan referring to where they turned their face, or was it that regarding the Shira that they sang? And that's the Gemara, my Shira Amar, what song did the cow sing? So Rabbi Yechim Meir says, Az Yasher, Moshe B'nei Yisrael, they sang the song of the Az Yasher, that then Moshe B'nei and the B'nei Yisrael sang the song. Why? Because it says over the Ki Goy Goy, because Hashem was mighty, which in this context was referring to that he sent a hand against the Pelishtim and in their D.T. Dagon, where that's where the cows were singing, that they were humbled by Hashem, and that's why they're bringing the Aron back from the Pelishtim. Now, that was Rabbi Yechim in the name of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yechonah the Deyam, Rabbi Yechonah himself said that the cow sang a pasuk in Yeshayah. Pasuk says, "V'martim b'yemahu, you will say on that day, Hoidu l'Hashem, give thanks to Hashem, kiru v'shmai, call out His name, v'goyim, etc." Where it says, "Hoidiu v'am aleisav," that it should be known in the nations His great wondrous works, which is what happened over here, that the nations that found out of Hashem's great might. So Rav Shimon Balakasham, he gives a different interpretation. It says, "Mizmeiri yasma," it was the orphaned Mizmer, the Perikantilim, and the reason why it's called orphan, because it doesn't say who the author of it is a Perikantilim that says, Mizmer song, Shiru Lashem Shir Chatosh, sing to Hashem a new song, Kineflo Yisasa, because wondrous things he does, Heshia lo Yeminoi Uzra Kachre, that his right and his holy arm helped and saved them. Rabbi Lozam, he says a Perikantilim that says, Hashem Malach, Hashem has reigned, Yirgizu Amim, the nations tremble, and that was because that they had the affliction of the hemorrhoids that Hashem brought upon them. Shmuel ben Nachmeni says a Perikantilim that says, Hashem Malach, Hashem has ruled, Geus Lavish, Hashem has adorned the might. Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcham, he says, they sang a different song. Reini, Reini Hashita, sing, sing, the shita, which refers to the ark, which is made out of atzei shitim, out of shitim wood. Hisnaifefi, elevate yourself, beroif aderech, with your great splendor, hamachushekes, which means that it's tied, berikmei zahav, with golden strappings, because the aron was, although it was made of atzei shitim, but it was plated in the inside and the outside with gold. Hamahulala bedvir aron, that is prayed with the, as the Gemara is going to explain shortly, the word dvir means in Persian, it means book, that's praised with the book of the aron of the palace, which refers to the Sefer Torah of Moshe that was inside of it, which was kept in the Mishkan, in the palace, which the aron is praised with what's put inside of it, and its splendor with the crown of all crowns, which is no greater crown than that holding the luchos of Hashem. Now, Ravashi Masni Lalhod Rabbi Yitzchak Aha, he learns that this Shira that Rabbi Yitzchak was quoting, that the first version was saying was going on at the time of the Paris, who would bring up the Aron saying this song, he learns that this song of Rabbi Yitzchak was actually referring to some other halacha. Pasuk in Midbar says, "Vayhi ben Sayar Aaron," that when the ark would travel, Vayim Moshe, Moshe would say, "Kum Hashem, Hashem, get up." So Yisrael my Omer. So when the ark would travel, meaning at the times when the different travels that the Jews took in the desert on the way to Eretz Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu would say, "Kum Hashem." So what did the Jewish people respond after Moshe Rabbeinu said that? On that, Amr Yitzchak, "Reini, Reini, Hashita B'chulu," which was referring to the ark traveling, which was when they had the Masayis in the Midbar. Now, to clarify, the Gemara says, Amar Rav, it says, "Kaman kar parsori l'sifra devir." Who is the Persians like when they call the word sifra, book, devir? It's, as we mentioned before, that bedvir arman was the song that the cows were singing in Persian, which refers to the book, referring to the Sefer Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Where do we find that a book is called devir? Machab, a pasuk in Shaftim, says, "V'shem devir," in the name of devir, "lefonim kira sefer," used to be called the city of the book. So you see that devir is the same as sefer. Similarly, Rav Ashi Amar, he says, "Kaman kar parsoi l'nida dashtana." Who are the Persians going like when they call a nida, menstruating woman, dashtana? And this is all because all the languages somehow evolved from Lashon HaKodesh to Dar HaFlago, and they got split into 70 different languages. So what's the source that we find in the Torah for these words? Malchut Zapasik in Bereishis, where Rachel said to her father, Lavan, "I'm sorry, I can't get up right now, ki derech nashamli, because I have the way of women for me," which was a nice way of saying that she's menstruating, where dashtana is the acronym of Dashtana, the Dal and the Shin. The Dal refers to the word Derech, and the Shin refers to the word Nashim, where that's what the word Dashtana is saying, "I have the way of women right now, which I'm menstruating." That's where we find in other languages, and like in Persia, the root in the Hebrew language, which is all the languages encompassed inside the Lashon HaKodesh, which is the Lashon that created the world.